Thank you. Like I said in the first service, now's your pause. If you have water, take it. I already feel lightheaded, so let's not make that everybody else too. It's really hot in here. Sweet, good morning. Like Joe said, my name is Brielle. Brandon and I just started here on the pastoral staff a month ago? I don't know. If you're wondering why there's music on this morning, it's because there are many ways that people connect with God. For me, music, I would hope would be one of them, but it is. It is one of them. And so when I'm speaking, I don't know, you put some music on in the background and I'm just like, that's just like where I hear God. Even if there's no words, there's not any words to the song. And sweet, I was texting somebody the other day and I had like this kind of music on and I was just like, I'm so sorry. Like, I probably just went off on you, but I just really felt like I needed to encourage you. And she was like, you know what? That was actually really great. I'm so glad you did that. So, that is why there is music on. My sermon this morning is called Changing Our View on Prayer. Originally, we weren't sure if this was going to work once we found out that we were going to have this time of reconciliation and testimonies. We were like, oh, how's prayer even going to fit in there? And this past weekend, I was at a bachelorette party for my sister-in-law. And there was a lot of like-minded Christians there, and we were just talking. It was just so cool. Like, we one of them is, she's in school to be a teacher, and so she was talking about all of the kids who just have a disadvantage and how her heart breaks for that. And we ended up actually talking about, like, residential schools and stuff. She knows a lot more. She went to school for teaching. So I was like, wow, I learned a lot. And I was like, how could prayer not be part of this? It's just, I'll tell you more about it in a second, but it's just like, it just fit so perfectly that I was like, you know what? That's God that lined that up. This sermon series was not originally in the plan for this year, I don't think. Was it? Nope. I don't know. Anyways, it works really well. So I'm going to open in a word of prayer. I don't think I did that this morning, but let's just do that. So Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here this morning. We know that you are always speaking to us, God. And we just pray that you would give us all the ears to hear what you have to say. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak through me and you would work through me as I am up here with your word, Lord. God, if you have any other agenda, Lord, I pray that you would just knock on my heart for me to do that. In your name, amen. Sweet. I'm going to start with our passage for this series. It's Acts 2:42-47, and it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Just listen to this one. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Love that one. They were all like-minded Christians, and they were praising God. They were just worshiping. They were devoted to what God had for them. And their numbers were added to day by day, those who were being saved. So just keep that in mind while I preach. I just want to ask you guys, what stops you from praying? I did an Instagram poll. I know it's very young of me to do. I don't care. I loved it. And lots of people who answered, I asked the same question, what stops you from praying? And a lot of people that answered were Bible college students, people who have graduated from Bible college, pastors, well-respected Christians. So that was actually really cool. I was not sure who was going to respond, and it was so awesome to hear. Some of their answers were what stops them from praying is the busyness of life, kids, social media, all that stuff that just takes the place, you know? But these are the ones where it started to get a little bit more serious, and I was like, whoa, glad to know that I feel, or I'm not the only one who feels that way. Saying the wrong words or sounding dumb, feeling like God's not listening to them, feeling a lack of intimacy with God and or being vulnerable with our sin. And this one's a direct quote. I asked permission. And they said that sometimes prayer itself seems too vulnerable and I'm not there yet. I don't know if any of you feel that way. Sometimes I feel that way. When we're talking about like saying the wrong words or sounding dumb, I never really felt like an adequate speaker for worship. All the songs are written for me, so that's pretty easy. I don't have to come up with my own words. So I get that one. I'm right there with them. I don't know if anybody else feels that way. Not feeling like God is listening is so valid. Sometimes you're sitting there in your room alone, and if you're not used to praying on your own, you're like, what now? Like, you know what I mean? It just feels like you're sitting there in an empty room. But like the Bible, you can always refer back to the Bible, and the Bible says that He is there with you, the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went back up into heaven, He sent His Holy Spirit, and He is here with us. And feeling a lack of intimacy with God or being vulnerable with our sin, well, that one's a big one, right? that's a lot. Again, I felt that way before. I don't know if anybody else has, but considering that these were common answers amongst many people, I was like, sure, everybody else can feel that way too. Intimacy is like with God is such like, it's so vulnerable. So vulnerable. Like, it's like, for those who are married, like when you've done something wrong, how like gut-wrenching is it to tell your spouse? I'm learning that. It's hard. Like, you're like, I don't want to admit that I did something wrong. I'm supposed to be like, you know, great. You know, like I'm supposed, yeah. No, it's okay. We need to admit that we're wrong. I knew that before I got married, so it wasn't a learning curve. It's just actually practicing it. Admitting stuff to your friends, your family members, it's tough. Anyways, so I wanted to start off by encouraging you guys that those examples that I gave, don't let them be hindrances to your prayers. Like, God moves past those things. He hears you. He knows where you're at. He just wants to be in a relationship with you. And that actually leads me to what I was going to say next. My definition of prayer, what I've been taught and I've learned and I just know to be true, is that prayer is a two-way relationship with God. Which sounds like, if you're in that space where you're like, I feel like God doesn't hear me, that can be a really tricky thing to get your mind around. But Billy Graham, I'm sure many of you know his name, but he's a very well-respected Christian. His definition of prayer is a prayer is a spiritual communication between God and man, a two-way relationship in which man should not only talk to God, but also listen to him. Crazy. Prayer to God is like a child's conversation with his father. It's natural for a child to ask his father for the things that he needs. And the scriptures tell us that when we pray for one another, and it also assures us that God hears us and answers our prayers. So let that definition just curb anything that you may have thought before about prayer. Like, it's God hears you. He knows you. We're allowed to ask for things. He knows your heart. He wants to be there with you. Yeah, if that's the definition of prayer, and it's a two-way relationship with a God that loves you, God that's very forgiving, God that's merciful, graceful, all of those things, all powerful, why are we scared to pray? Like, right? Like, what stops us from prayer? Like, there are a lot of things that stop us from prayer, actually, but why should they be the things that stop us from prayer? There are a couple things that I was thinking about, like, that stop me from prayer, stop others from prayer. And the first thing, I'm just going to come right out and say it, is sin in our lives. Like, that, like, like I was saying to Brandon, like, saying about Brandon earlier, like, I don't want to admit when I've done something wrong. Like, it's hard. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. But is that gut-wrenching feeling going to go away if you don't, like, fess up? No, it's not. And the same thing works with God. Like, He already knows you did something wrong. He knows that. So it's not a surprise to him when you're like, I did this. And like, what was I going to say? Oh, what's the worst thing that can happen? If you're like, oh God, you know, I did this thing and I knew I shouldn't. I haven't even apologized yet. But like, forgive me. What's going to happen? A pillar of fire coming down? No, I don't think so. God's loving. And like I said, He already knows that. I'm sure a lot of you already knew that too. Like, God knows what you do day in, day out, and he loves you still. And so it's okay to come to God with your sins. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power and is working. So yeah, that's just confess your sins, guys. People are very forgiving. God's very forgiving too. If people aren't forgiving, God's forgiving. this is where I was trying to go. A little scatterbrained this morning, but that's okay. Like I was saying, what's the worst thing that can happen? And I was talking with somebody this past week, and I was like, what's it like when you pray and you have to admit something? And their response was, you know, continuously, it's just a sense of relief. It's like that burden taken off your shoulders, like, oh, like, okay, like I can move on and move forward, right? And I feel like when he said that, I was like, that's exactly what I felt. I just didn't know how to word that yet. And Psalms 55:22, I really like the NASB version. It says, cast your burden onto the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. That last part, that one, I just love that. Like, God's not, like, he's like, give me your stuff. You got some stuff that's going on in your life? Tell me about it. I will take that and let's move on and move forward. Another thing that stops us from prayer is our faith. I don't know about you guys. Doubt is a real thing, very real. Even just talking about those things that I did about that stops us from prayer, like sounding dumb, feeling like God's not listening. Those things cause doubt. Like, you're like you can find yourself in that rabbit trail of, God, are you listening? Or like, is this causing doubt? And then you're just like, you're totally not even praying anymore. You're just like on this rabbit trail of doubt. And then you're just like, right? But Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he will reward those who seek him. It is impossible to please God without faith. He wants you to trust in him. Like, if you believe he is real and you're like, God, I know you're powerful. I know you can do it. If you're praying like, God, can you? No! Like, you gotta pray like, God, yes, you will. Like, that is that kind of faith that we need. I'm not there. I'm still working on that for myself. So like, oh, I forgot to preface. I'm not speaking just to you guys, I'm speaking to myself. Like, that's the kind of faith that we need as a church. That's the kind of faith as we need as people who call ourselves Christians. Yes. Where am I? I wrote a paper on faith in college because I was like, well, that's pretty easy. it was about faith in the Gospels and how every time that Jesus performed a miracle or something crazy happened, that person that he was with had this like insane amount of faith. So I want to read one of the stories. In Luke 8:43-48, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all of her living on physicians, she couldn't be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? And when all denied it, Peter's like, Master, the crowds that surround you are pressing on you. He's like, Jesus, there's so many people here. Like, of course somebody touched you. But Jesus said, someone touched me, for I perceive that the power has gone out from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him and declared the presence of all, in front of all the people, why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, listen to this part, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your faith has made you well. I'm really working on this part because, like, could you just imagine if you had that much faith that, like, if Jesus were right in front of you and the Holy Spirit's here with you, so it's the same thing. If Jesus were right here in front of you, and you're like, I know that if I'm like, you have so much power in you, if I touch you, I will be healed. No matter what that is, if that's emotional, mental, physical, God knows your needs. If you just had that much faith, like, that just blows my mind. Like, that just tells me that I don't have that much faith, because there would be some crazy things happening if I had that much faith. I was listening to a sermon on prayer. My dad, who's probably watching, because he's watched every single week since we've gotten here, he recommended The Belonging Co., and her name is Alex Seeley. And her part on prayer, she was like, well, what happens if nothing changes? What if you're sitting there and it's like the whole, like, God, are you there? And she said, like, stay there. And her quote, like, what she actually said word for word was, I will not leave you until you bless me. I'm going to stay here and keep praying. I'm going to stay here, keep reading my Bible. I'm going to stay here, keep praying in faith that you are going to bless me. You are going to work in my life. You are going to heal me, whatever it may be. Like, I will not leave until you bless me. And I just thought that was so awesome. Like, those are the kind of prayers we need for sure. So Joe, the whole time that we've had this sermon series, his little tagline was, what you are devoted today will determine where you will be tomorrow. So I'm going to put that in the context of prayer. If we are devoted to prayer today, prayer will come more naturally tomorrow. So first, we got to change our view on prayer by ourselves, what that looks like. And I'm sure you guys might be able to guess what the next is. Changing our view on prayer with others. My next question on my Instagram poll was, what stops you from praying with others? And then I also had a little section of, do you pray alone typically, or do you pray together? And 51, out of 51 people, 80% of people said they typically pray alone. Why don't we pray with others? What stops you from praying with others? And their answers to that was, again, some direct quotes, and I asked for permission, is, sometimes I feel they may laugh. Like, that's so, for me, that's so real. Like I said, I didn't grow up feeling like I was good with my words, and just being like that pastor, that youth leader, whatever it was like, just like spewing this like awesome prayer, and you're like, well, I don't want to follow that. Like, that's embarrassing. It doesn't matter. If they're judging you, they're in the wrong. That's your relationship with God. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You're praying because you're in a relationship with God, right? Don't let that stop you. The next little quote I have is the blatant awkwardness of it. I don't know how many little prayer circles you've been in, but for worship teams and stuff, we usually pray together. And the amount of times that I've just been in a circle and you're like, who's going next? Like, it's so awkward, right? Like, you're like, do I go next? So that person's like, they pray all the time. So like, I'll wait for them to go first, or like, and then is it prayer anymore? It's not prayer anymore. That's just you, like, you know what? Don't let that stop you. You just keep praying until somebody else jumps in, if that's what it is. Pray for everything. If you don't know what to pray for, just like, be like, God, thank you. That's good enough. Yeah, to put that in our own context, how many times do you find yourself, this morning I kept on saying Tim Hortons because I couldn't think of anything else around here. How many times do you find yourself at like Tim Hortons with all your friends, like-minded friends, Christian friends, and odds are they're probably telling you something. Your granddaughter's sick, your cousin is going through this really awful traumatic thing, or, you know, maybe it's just that, like, I'm just having a hard week, I don't feel the presence of God. Pray together. Like, those are the moments that you're like, hey man, can I pray for you? Can we pray together? We know, like, you know the power of God and what he's capable of, so just pray together. Don't let the opportunity pass you by. I actually put that into practice for myself this past weekend. I don't know if she necessarily calls herself a Christian, but I just, like, we were just talking about some pretty heavy stuff, and I was like, you know what, I'm preaching on this, can I pray for you? And it was like, just getting past that awkward stage of, can I pray for you? And her answer was, yeah, what do I do? And I was like, oh, have you not prayed before? She's like, no. I'm like, well, okay, cool. So that's like super awesome that like I get to be the first one that prays with you. And it went like, it was not like the most like spiritual thing. Well, there was no music playing. There was no, what I was standing in my kitchen wearing, it was really hot yesterday. So it was like, so not like, proper or anything, but we just prayed together. I prayed for her and she walked away and you could definitely just tell like God was moving. So do that. People who believe, people who don't believe, pray with them. What's the worst thing that they could say? I asked that to Brandon this morning. He told me a pretty crazy story. That's not a typical answer. Usually, people will just say yes. They're broken, and they just want anything, right? And so just pray for them, and they'll probably be like, okay, what do I do? And you just tell them, sit down, stand up, eyes open, eyes closed, whatever you feel comfortable with. In Matthew 18:20, I know this is in a little bit of a different context, but I know that the same thing still applies. For where there are two or three gathered in my name, like-minded, whatever, there I am among them. That's Jesus saying that. Like, there's two or three here, right? Yeah? Like, the Holy Spirit's here. Like, why? Like, Holy Spirit's always everywhere. Like, you just have to invite him and be willing and open your heart, right? So some of you might be like, well, how can we pray together? What does that look like? And my answer to that would be pray boldly. When you're spending time with God intentionally and by yourself and whatever, he'll speak to you. You just got to wait. You just got to keep on having that faith and pressing in. He's going to speak to you. And you're going to know your authority in God. God says, I don't know where in the Bible, I'm really bad at quoting things. That's why I have them all written down. That like, he has given you authority to work in his name when you partner with him, when you are a child of God, when you call yourself a Christian. He has given you authority to pray in his name. That's crazy. We don't have Jesus walking in here, like on this earth. But we have the Holy Spirit and he's here and we can pray in his name. So let's do that. We will at the end. Going back to Billy Graham's definition of prayer, he says that prayer to God is like a conversation with his father. It is natural for a child to ask his father for things that he needs. Things that he needs. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself being like, I want this and this and this and this and this. And that's not what God says. He says, knock and you will, can't quote it. That's okay. He wants you to come to him again and again in prayer. And he wants you to know, like, yes, you have your personal needs and you should definitely be praying for that. Your friends have needs and you should be praying for that. But when you spend time with God and you get to know his will and what burdens his heart, because he's going to put that on your heart. Be like, hey, Joe, I need you to do this. And he'll put a burden on your heart. You can pray for those things and pray boldly. Like reconciliation. We have now all learned. We've heard these testimonies. Pray boldly for that. Don't be timid. God's not timid. Why should you be? Yeah, because how can we pray for God's will if we don't know God's will? That's why we need to spend time with him. You need to know God's will to be able to pray for it. It's cool to pray just like, God, let your will be done. But when you spend that time and you get to learn that, you can actually pray, God, we live on some banned land. Like, let's reconcile the relationships. So God, what's my first step? He'll tell you. You just got to wait. So we can pray boldly together. And that is so awesome. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I'm like, oh, how do I pray? Oh, Lord, help my day. No, you can pray big prayers. You can pray really big prayers. So what happens when we pray together? At the least, personally, I'm encouraged when people pray big prayers and they sound really fancy, when people pray small prayers, when people are new Christians and they're just so honest. I love that because it reminds me that no matter what my words are, they're pleasing to God. Her words too. They are pleasing to God when they are glorifying in His name, right? Doesn't matter what you say. He just wants a relationship with you. Just come to Him as you are. My mom, who's also watching, I just know it, used to say, and I think my dad too, garbage in, garbage out. If we're together and we're speaking negative things, we're gossiping, we're whatever, that's going to, like, you know what? You surround yourself with that, it's going to come out. I've experienced that myself. You go through those little seasons of life where maybe, like, you've just gone through a move. You don't have very many friends, and so you find yourself watching TV all the time. You find yourself trying to make new friends, and maybe you can't find Christian friends, and so all of that stuff is going in, and you have a hard time producing a godly life because you just haven't been surrounded by that. Surround yourself with Christians. You should still have non-Christian friends. Those people need Jesus. So surround yourself with them too, but have your foundation. Foundation should be in Jesus, but also have those core group of friends that you can come to encourage you. When they pray, they encourage you. They can pray for you and encourage you. Going back to Acts 2:46, it says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received food with their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people." The commentary that I was reading alongside that said that they glorified God in their prayers, and when they spoke about God's blessing through Jesus, they cheered God's wisdom in approval. And listen to this part. "And this recommended him," God, "to unbelievers who might be present." If you're in, like, Tim Hortons, and you are being like, "Oh, God did this really great thing. Like, you know, I was praying and he spoke to me," or, you know, like, "What a beautiful day it is outside. Isn't God great? Like, it's hot, but, like, it's hot. Things are growing." Like, just, like, think of all of those, like, just, like, glorify God in your ways, and this will, love this, recommend him to those around you. In your, like, your way that you act, your imitation of Jesus. I was at Brandon's dad's house one day, and his younger brother was like, I said something, he's like, "That's what Brandon says." I'm like, "Well, yeah." I'm like, "He's my only friend right now. He's who I hang out with all day. Of course I'm going to talk like him." And that's what it's like when we spend that much time with Jesus. Like, could you imagine if we spent more time with Jesus, praying to Jesus, praying with God, what our lives would look like? Reading our Bible, where it tells us all of what the things, like, in the Gospels, how we're supposed to live our lives and how we can imitate Jesus. Could you imagine, like, if we did that, if, say, like, just us in this room, just us went out and we fully said, and we just imitated Jesus all day, who around us would we recommend God to? I'm guilty of not being perfect in that, so don't think I'm condemning anyone. But just, like, imagine what would happen to our church. What would happen to, I haven't figured out if it's a community or a city or a town yet, so I call it a community, the community of Ladysmith. Could you imagine if everybody around, like, if we went out there and were fully, like, declaring God's name, speaking, like, good things about God and speaking kind to others, what would, this building would probably be full after COVID. We would probably have to have 5 services right now. And you know what? That's okay. That's exhausting, but that's okay because that means that more people are coming to Jesus. If our church isn't full, our job's not done. I forget who told me that one time, but, like, this whole city doesn't know God. Town, community, whatever it is. They don't know God. So our jobs aren't done yet. We can't sit here and be like, I don't want to do it. That's not what God called us to do, which is very challenging to me because I'm a home dweller for sure. But you know what? I got landlords. I got neighbors. I don't know all of them yet. They don't all know Jesus yet. They don't come to church here. I'm pretty sure they don't come to church anywhere else. My job's not done yet. Who around you doesn't know Jesus yet? Brandon last week was talking about inviting people to your table. And I'm in charge of the social media. And so if you haven't followed Instagram, we do little weekly polls. And last week was, have you invited somebody to your table yet? And only a couple people answered, but that's okay. And it was split 50-50 of four people. lots of people haven't. I didn't. But like, what would it look like if we invited people to our homes and spoke good about God and spoke well to them? What you are devoted today will determine where you will be tomorrow. So I'm going to rephrase that again in a different way. If we devote ourselves to living like Jesus today, living like Jesus will come more naturally tomorrow. So since we just finished talking about prayer, we're going to do it. We're going to spend some time in prayer. So I'm going to lead us into some prayer. I encourage you to stand up. You can sway, move your arms around, whatever. You can sit down if that's more comfortable for you. But we're just going to pray. I encourage you to pray out as loud as you can. We got some babies in the room, and you know what? Match their level. Love that. That'd be super awesome. Yeah, they're great. Like, so let's pray. And like, your loud prayers will encourage the person next to you. We're allowed to talk. We might not be allowed to sing, but we are allowed to talk, and talking to Jesus is what we're going to do. So, yeah. I'll pray, and then I'll leave some space, and then pray, and then talk about it after with your friends and neighbors and whatever. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you in this place, and we know you are here. We're so thankful for that. Holy Spirit, if we need to be corrected, if we need to be condemned of something, and maybe we don't even realize there's something in our lives that needs to be changed, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come down and just tell us. God, you are so awesome, and you are so great, and everybody needs to know who you are. So I just pray that we would be willing as we hear from you. I pray that you would speak big things to all of us. You know what we can handle. So I just pray that individually you would just give us words, and you would give us things that we need to do. You would just call us into action to just spread your name in whatever way that looks like for us. So Holy Spirit, just come speak to us.